TCI Magazine Audio Edition. Listen to your favorite arboriculture articles on the go.
The Dunning-Kruger Effect and Educating Clients by John Ball, Ph.D., BCMA, CDSP. Everyone providing pruning or removal quotes has come across this situation. You pull up to the next appointment at a house in a well-wooded neighborhood. The homeowner greets you with slight disdain as you meet at the door. You walk together through the house and exit through the sliding door into the backyard, which is filled with a single large tree. The tree is a majestic American elm. It has the classic vase-shaped form of this species, with a high crown that shelters the entire backyard within its shade. The branches at the edge of the canopy bow gracefully down, almost touching the tall fence surrounding a property. Too bad the elm finally succumbed to Dutch elm disease, having survived decades beyond its peers. You stand there quietly calculating the hours of climbing, no lift access for this one, and the rigging that is necessary to safely bring the tree to ground. While you scan the tree, the homeowner turns to say, "I know I can do this tree myself. I spend a lot of time in deer stands, so I do not mind heights. I can get it down in an afternoon with a couple of friends. So, why am I here, you wonder? I figured I would let some tree guys do it," the homeowner continues, "since I am not sure what to do with all the brush. There it is. Your company is not being hired for the knowledge and skills to do this complex work. No, it is as a trash hauling service. Too often our work is reduced to this level of simplicity. Anyone can do it if you can rent the right equipment or have a place to dump the brush." Homeowners masquerading as arborists are a good example of the Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger effect was first published about 2 decades ago. There are some limitations to this research, and it has been subject to criticism. It even received an Ig Nobel Prize, a pun on the Nobel Prize, for unusual, imaginative, or trivial research. But the central theme of the study holds true. It is that people with low skills and knowledge of a task often overestimate their ability to accomplish it. They may have watched someone perform the task, or more likely watched it on YouTube. The task looked easy to do. A good example of the Dunning-Kruger effect is the results of a recent survey from Griffith University that found half the male respondents were confident they could land a commercial jet. There have been instances when a passenger with little to no pilot experience landed a small, single-engine aircraft, with coaching, when the pilot was incapacitated. A passenger with no flight training and experience safely landing a Boeing 737 to the cheers of their fellow passengers is for the movies. The odds are next to zero. The combination of ignorance and overconfidence in a person's ability to complete a high-risk task can lead to a dangerous situation. This happens when tree owners attempt to be arborists. Over the past 3 years, TCI Magazine published a series of Us Versus Them articles contrasting incidents between homeowners and arborists in their use of chainsaws, chippers, ladders, and aerial lift devices during arboricultural operations. It is time for an update. See the June 2023 issue of TCI for the previous most recent Us Versus Them article and a guide to the series. The evidence: there are about 140 million visits to the emergency department, ED, every year. Most patients are treated and released the same day, but about 14% are admitted to the hospital. Upper respiratory infections are the most common reason for an ED visit, followed by superficial injuries and nonspecific chest pain. Open wounds, injuries commonly associated with tree work, are the 7th most common reason for a visit. Chainsaws are one of the most basic tools we share with homeowners, but arborists are required to wear personal protective equipment, helmet, hearing protection, eye protection, sturdy footwear, and cut-resistant leg protection. For ground operations with a chainsaw, tree owners wear ball caps, shorts, and flip-flops. Arborists must follow OSHA regulations and the NCZ 133 standards for operating chainsaws. Tree owners merely need to pick up a couple of tips from YouTube. The casual attitude tree owners have toward chainsaws is mystifying. They understand the power of the chain to plane through wood, but somehow do not equate this with their flesh. They also have extraordinary confidence in their skills at saw work. When asked about the absence of PPE, a common response is, "Why do I need it? I am not planning to have an accident." Several years ago, when a derecho swept across eastern South Dakota, I and many other arborists quickly began the task of removing fallen trees from buildings, cars, and roadways. The local big box hardware store sold out of chainsaws in a day. Removing twisted and bent trees lying on houses is not the best place to start learning how to operate a chainsaw. There were several fatal incidents. Numbers don't lie. Unfortunately, tree owners' high confidence in their skills is not aligned with a low incident rate. During the past 3 years, there have been about 77,000 DD visits associated with chainsaws. About 91% of these incidents involved the public, the tree owners. The rest were workers operating chainsaws as part of their profession. Loggers, landscapers, grounds maintenance workers, site contractors, and, of course, arborists. This is a slight increase from the 2010s. Why there was an increase in these ED visits is unknown, but I suspect it is related to the pandemic. There is a lot to remember about the COVID pandemic. The tragic loss of lives is the most important, but there were and are numerous other effects. One was that everyone was home, and the second was that money, for many, was still coming in and supplemented by government checks. This combination of being home bodies and having surplus income meant homeowners were interested in home improvements, especially landscaping, patios, decks, and tree care. Nearly every tree service was swamped with work in 2020 and 2021. Many homeowners also decided to do tree work themselves. This meant they were using chainsaws. What they cut. The average age of someone arriving at the ED from a chainsaw incident in that 3-year period was 47 years old, with a range from 6 to 91 years old. The incidents involving children were usually tripping and falling on a chainsaw that was not running. There were, however, incidents involving 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds who were injured from operating chainsaws. About 87% of the injuries occurred to males. The most common injury presented to the ED was laceration to the thigh, typically the left leg, about a quarter of the incidents. About another quarter of the incidents were lacerations to the knee, ankle, or foot. About 10,000 incidents a year involved hospitalization, all deep lacerations, but about 50 hospitalizations each year involved amputations, mostly left fingers or thumbs. Trimmers and pruners, fingers also were cut or lost to hedge trimmers and pruners. There were about 3,600 of those visits to the ED each of the past 3 years. The average age was 50 years old but ranged from 10 to 87 years old. Nearly all the incidents involved fingers. These occurred when someone was operating the equipment one-handed. Chippers and shredders, chippers and chainsaws go hand in hand for arboricultural operations, and increasingly so for tree owners. Smaller chippers and shredders can be rented by tree owners with minimal to no training. It shows. There were about 1,400 emergency department visits associated with chippers and shredders, again a slight increase from the 2010s. About 79% of these incidents were to tree owners, usually operating the smaller chippers, shredders, and mulchers. Arborists, loggers, site cleaning contractors, and other professionals use larger chippers. Operator injuries while working with these larger machines were more serious and often fatal. Tree owners who used these larger machines also suffered amputations of legs and arms. Overall, about 88% of the chipper injuries occurred to males. The average age of someone arriving at the ED from a chipper/shredder incident was 45 years old, with a range from 3 to 86 years old. About 12% of these ED visits were to patients under 18 years old. The chipper-related injuries to children were not to operators, but observers who were struck by branches that were being fed into the machine. There were injuries to minor teens operating chippers at home. Unfortunately, injuries to minors also occurred on commercial tree crews, including one fatality when a 17-year-old became entangled in the brush and was pulled into the machine. The most common chipper injuries presented to emergency departments were lacerations or amputations of fingers. This happened when the hand was caught between the brush and the chipper shroud when the wood violently kicked to the side. Wood that kicked back or to the side while being fed was responsible for scalp lacerations, abrasions to the face, and chest injuries. Grinders and splitters, two other pieces of equipment that resulted in injuries, were stump grinders and wood splitters. The stump grinder injuries were finger or thumb amputations and lacerations. These occurred when the operator touched the teeth while pulling debris off the wheel. The wood splitter incidents were amputations or lacerations from the fingers caught between the log and the splitter wedge. Ladders and lifts, rib and spinal fractures were injuries associated with pruning trees from a ladder. All the falls were less than 30 feet, most less than 10 feet. Falling from the ladder resulted in cervical, pelvic, and rib fractures. Electrical shock injuries also were associated with ladders and falls. Tree owners directly contacted an overhead power line through a metal pole pruner or, in a few incidents, touched the power line with the ladder as it was being moved into position. Aerial devices are another common piece of equipment rented by tree owners. Tree owners fall from aerial devices for the same reason arborists do: failure to wear fall protection. The difference is that if someone is renting a lift, the unit typically does not come with a fall arrest harness, or it is optional. Homeowners rent units that can reach 50 to 70 feet. The internet is populated by descriptions of saving thousands of dollars by do-it-yourself tree dismantling. Many of the falls were from overreaching while pruning with a chainsaw and tumbling out of the basket. Then there's the tree. While operating equipment poses significant risk to the amateur tree worker, the tree is also a hazard. The two greatest hazards are being struck by a falling branch or by a falling tree. Emergency department visits are weighed more heavily toward falling branches than falling trees. Being struck by a 10-ton tree as it falls does not usually call for emergency medical personnel, more often a coroner. Tragically, every year amateur tree fellers or bystanders are killed by a falling tree. These are usually from misjudging the tree's height or direction of fall. Fatal injuries also occurred to amateurs when trees split during felling. The average age of the tree owners coming to an ED after a fight with a tree was 53 years old. The ages ranged from 14 to 92 years old. The most common incident was a branch striking the tree owner as they were cutting the branch or completing the cut. The tree owners were standing below the branch, sometimes on a ladder, and were hit by the falling or swinging branch. Another common occurrence was during limbing and bucking the fallen tree. A partial cut branch swinging back and striking the chainsaw operator's chest caused rib fractures. Sometimes these cause pneumothorax, a punctured lung. Head and eye injuries. Not too surprisingly, head injuries are another common injury from removals and pruning. These range from concussions to skull fractures. Scalp lacerations were the most often treated, along with nosebleeds. Another injury was corneal abrasions, an injury to the eye, though sometimes it was the more serious orbit fracture, damage to the bone around the eye. A common factor in these incidents was the lack of PPE. While arborists routinely wear a helmet and eye protection, the best that most amateur tree workers might wear is a ball cap and sunglasses. Climbing injuries. Tree owners also tried their hand at climbing. This was climbing without fall protection, usually just climbing off a ladder onto the branches. The falls were not from great heights. Most falls were between 10 and 25 feet, but falls from trees, whether as a professional or amateur, rarely are a straight fall to the ground. Instead, the falling climber frequently ricochets through the canopy on their way down or strikes objects on the ground, such as fences. The common injuries were fractures, lacerations, and punctures. Conclusion: the Dunning-Kruger effect also shows that once people understand the complexity of a task and its risks, they are less likely to be confident in their ability to perform it. The tree care industry must continue to educate tree owners in the difficulty of performing arboricultural operations and the consequences of attempting to perform high-risk tree work. If the discomfort and pain of an injury is not enough to cause hesitation, then the thousands of dollars of medical care and lost time is higher than the charge from any tree service to do the job. John Ball, Ph.D., BCMA, CTSP, ANREMT, Advanced National Registry of Emergency Medical Technicians, is a professor of forestry at South Dakota State University.
Want to stay up to date on the latest audio edition of the TCI Magazine? Subscribe to us on Apple Music, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To check out more of what TCI Magazine has to offer or to subscribe to the print magazine, visit tcimag.tcia.org.